your finances, on a higher power. Being good stewards of the financial resources God has bestowed upon each of us is the key to financial success in life. It's your finances on a higher power. Here's your host, Paula T. Webb.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. This is Paula T. Webb, the founder of the New Age of Trading Psychology. Started decades ago with Mark Douglas back in the 1980s. It is September 1st, 2024. Can you believe we're already in the month of September? For those of us living here in the desert, it's a welcome time of year because the triple digit temperatures are actually winding down. So we look forward to the fall season. And today was the first day of college football. Hello. I am a total fan, and count yourselves lucky that I am here on Saturdays during college football season. I'm giving up my game time to be here with you all. A little bit of housekeeping. We, as many of you know, one of the several books that Mark and I wrote together, The Complete Trader, that was published in 2014. And I'll be honest, guys, I never really liked the way that Mark formatted the book. Now, normally I do the books in terms of formatting, but this was, he just wanted it a certain way because it's a very long book. It's almost 500 pages, as those of you who have read it already know. However, he's not here with us anymore, and I decided to format the book the way I feel would be much better presentable to traders today. So it is now available in a paperback as of September 15. It is currently available in a Kindle. However, we changed the title from The Complete Trader to The Key to Power Profits, Mastering the Psychology of Market Behavior. And I've updated the book because, you know, let's be honest, guys, it was written, it was published in 2014, but it was actually completed sometime before that. So, you know, we're heading into 2025. So check it out. I think you're going to really enjoy it. It's, like I said, it's updated, and I think it'll be a good seller too. With regard to The Disciplined Trader, I think I mentioned the publisher finally has added my name as co-author. Again, we have not fixed the print edition of the book. They're still having challenges with having it properly printed. However, the Kindle edition of The Disciplined Trader, the complete updated edition, will be ready by the end of this coming week. So you can start with that and then eventually get the hardcover when that comes out, probably in another month or so. Okay? So with that said, let's get started. As always, you can reach me at www.paulatweb.com. Remember, there's always the option for the free call. Just sign up through my website, or you can just pick up the phone, 760-636-4290. Thank you again to those of you who have written in the past week. And one of the questions that we received was from someone who was not that familiar with our work. And they asked for a synopsis of our approach to trading. They had their trading advisor and their chat room subscription. Everyone was recommending The Disciplined Trader, Trading in the Zone, and our other books. And so they just wanted to know, like, you know, what do we do? So that's what our program today is going to be about. So, you know, one of the things that, you know, would probably make it easier for you guys to understand what we do is our entire set of materials are are to provide a comprehensive guide to understanding the psychology of self-discipline, self-mastery, rather, and personal transformation that is needed to become a successful stock or futures or crypto trader, whatever you trade. Okay, it doesn't really matter what you trade. You need a specific set of mental skills to be able to see true market data, be able to follow your trading system flawlessly, only put on valid trades, be able to take profit consistently, but most importantly, keep it and grow it. So all of our materials basically are a step-by-step guide to helping you adapt successfully to the unique psychological characteristics of the trading world. Now, with that said, I also get questions from traders saying, well, which one of your books should I read first? Well, it doesn't matter. Okay, they're not necessarily sequential. They are obviously all related. The material is all related to each book or each workshop, but they are separate sets of materials unto themselves. So it wouldn't matter if you bought our fifth book or you came to a workshop or you had coaching sessions or you read our first book. It wouldn't matter because the underlying dynamics of the materials are the same. Now, when I say adapting your mindset or teaching, I say that because most people venturing into trading, the trading environment, I should say, have no way to recognize that environment as being vastly different from the cultural environment in which we were brought up and which we currently live in. And not knowing that there are differences, anybody new to trading would have no way of knowing that many of the beliefs and attitudes and actions that we've acquired up until the point we became traders, that we've acquired to enable us to function effectively in society or at another career, meaning when you work for someone else, they're not going to know that those beliefs will act as, shall we say, psychological, I don't want to say barriers, but challenges in the trading environment. And that could essentially make their success as traders problematic and somewhat difficult to achieve. Meaning reaching the level of success we desire as traders will require us to make at least some, and in some cases more than a few, changes in the way we initially perceive market action. Now again, unlike any other social or business environment, the trading arena has many characteristics requiring a very high degree of self-awareness and self-trust from any trader who intends to function successfully within it. However, most of us lack that degree of self-awareness needed to be successful as traders, because as children and as young adults, we learn to function in a very structured environment where our behavior and our beliefs were controlled and programmed by other people, more powerful than ourselves, more successful than ourselves, whose sole purpose was to positively manipulate our mental environment, our thoughts, our beliefs, to bring about actions and behaviors to conform to society's expectations. Now, of course, I've been over this before. Yes, we're all brought up with the same basic ideals and values, you know, right versus wrong. You do this, you get that. You know, you work hard, you get rewarded, because we all need to get along. And it functions as pretty well as it can. All right? So, but with that said, we're basically forced and continue to be forced in other careers by these external forces and our beliefs to behave in certain ways through a system of rewards and lack of rewards. So as a reward, we could say we could be prevented from getting what we wanted, or as a reward, we could be given the freedom to express ourselves in some desired manner as long as we are going along with the program. Okay, I hope you guys are following this. So if we're prevented from getting what we want, this is going to cause emotional pain, mental pain, and, you know, we might even be inflicted with other forms of, say, shall we say, corporal punishment, which would cause physical pain. So as a result, the only form of behavior control that we typically learned for ourselves based on other people's information that they programmed us with was based on the threat of pain, whether emotional or physical, from someone or something we perceived as knowing more than us, or at least having more influence over us. Okay? And that is not what happens in the trading environment. So, but over these years, since we were forced to relinquish our personal power to these other people, we naturally developed many of our traditional resources for success, and we created that type of a mental framework, believing in what we needed to do to succeed. And so we learned and created beliefs that acquiring power to manipulate and force changes upon things outside of us was the only way to get what we wanted. Now think about this. Because of how we were all taught and raised as a collective member of society, we recreated beliefs on what we needed to do to get what we want. Hold on to that, and we'll be back after a break. All right. So, one of the most important things everyone who enters the world of trading has to learn is that the mental resources, meaning your thoughts and beliefs that you used to get what you want in your everyday life, will not work in the trading environment. Now, I know that sounds pretty strange, but unfortunately, the trading environment is an unlimited arena for personal expression. We all know that we can make more money than we've ever dreamed of by just simply pointing and clicking our mouse or hitting a button on our personal device. There is no place else anywhere on this planet that you can do that. And we are not trained to understand the unique mindset and mental skills we need to navigate an unlimited environment. The power and the control that are necessary to manipulate the markets, and when I say that, I mean make the markets do what you want them to do, are beyond the comprehension of all but a small handful of individuals. And the external constraints that exist in society to control our behavior, to keep us, you know, as part of the collective group and collective energy so we can all get along, it just simply doesn't exist in the market environment. And one thing every trader has to keep in mind is that the markets have absolutely no power, no control, no influence over you or on you. They have no expectation of your behavior. And most importantly, they have no regard. The markets have no regard for your financial welfare. It just simply doesn't exist. Now, you might say, well, that's kind of a contradiction because, you know, we keep teaching that the markets are comprised of live traders, and we're not going to get into algorithms and all that kind of stuff. That's not what we're talking about here today. But yes, the markets are comprised by live people. And every single one of those people, whether they're an individual trader or they're a hedge fund manager or they're $100 million trader for Goldman Sachs, doesn't matter who they are. The point is, every single trader or investor, broker, whatever term you want to call yourself or them, has a unique perspective of where the market's headed. That's their energy. That is their energy. So the markets themselves are a living, growing entity built and maintained through the thoughts and energy and actions of every single trader. So there would be no way that the markets would be able to exert any type of power over you except by you allowing yourself to be influenced based on your own beliefs that you were brought up with and that you still subscribe to. Meaning you can't control or manipulate the markets. And again, the markets have absolutely no power or control over you. Therefore, the responsibility for what you perceive as market data and for your resulting trading behavior and actions resides only within you, in your mind. So the only thing you can control is yourself. And as a trader, you have the power to either give yourself money or to give your money to other traders. And the ways in which you choose to do this will be determined by psychological factors that have little or absolutely nothing to do with the markets. And this will be the case with your trading results until you acquire new trading skills, the unique mental skills to learn how to adapt yourself to suit any conditions in the markets as they exist at any given moment. So this is the foundation and the premise for what we are providing to all of you guys. And we've been doing this since, I want to say the late 1980s, but it really took off in the 90s. And again, long before there was even a term called trading psychology. I mean, nowadays, they are teaching our book, Trading in the Zone, at Wharton Business School. Actually, they've been doing it for a long time, but so now they've termed the phrase behavioral finance. And I know a lot of people on Wall Street are using that term. It doesn't matter what the term is. The bottom line is it's still the psychology of thinking consistently like a winner in an unlimited market, an unlimited environment called trading. So to operate successfully in this unlimited environment, each trader will need to learn how to control themselves in ways that may be, at least initially, somewhat alien to what they've ever thought before. They'll have to learn how to give themselves the mental freedom to shift their perspective, to even notice alternative possibilities to getting what you want as a trader, regardless of what any of your initial expectations of how you were going to get it you originally had. There are only a few percentage of traders who have come to the realization and self-knowledge that they are the only one 100% responsible for the outcome of their trading actions. And even fewer are those who have accepted the psychological connection of that realization and know what to do about it. Now, I know I'm getting really heavy here, and I don't want to like put you down in the dumps, because, you know, for Mark and I, and even today for myself, this is just a fascinating journey for me. And, you know, I'm still learning and growing every day with my trading. So don't assume that I have reached some sort of plateau, because I am constantly monitoring myself. I am constantly, you know, doing self-reflection to make sure that I can continue to grow my equity. All right. Now, I'm not saying that you have to do that yourself. You may reach a plateau where, let's say, you're making $100,000 a year in trading, and that's good for you. And that's fine. But I'm happy to help you reach that plateau. Okay? So just as I continue on, just keep in mind, you can reach whatever level of trading you want. You don't have to continually keep growing it or expanding your financial outlook. But that's your decision. Okay? So just keep in mind that trading is an environment that offers complete freedom of expression, combined with unlimited possibilities to reach our wildest financial dreams. But it also provides us with unlimited risk. So if you enter into this and you're oblivious to those opposite ends of the spectrum, then you might have a formula for not only emotional, but financial disaster. And so this uncertainty certainly explains why so few people ever truly make consistent money as traders. Okay? And when I say few, I'm not saying that they don't ever make money. They just don't realize their full potential. Okay? So before I get into the next segment, let's just think about that for a moment. Think about what it is you want to accomplish with your trading. Do you want to reach a plateau of X amount of income every year, or do you want to just, you know, be all in and just see what happens? So think about that before we head into the next segment.
Paula T. Webb will be back with us in a moment. It's Your Finances on A Higher Power.
Okay, so what I would suggest, based on what I said right before the break, is get a piece of paper and write down what your goals are, your financial goals, you know, as a trader or investor, whatever term you use for yourself, swing trader, day trader, you know, long term, whatever term you use, because you have to know what you're shooting for. You know, what are your goals? My main goal is to make $3 million in the next 5 years. Okay, that's a solid goal. However, if I don't make it, I'm not going to be upset. I mean, to me, that is my over the top goal. But I also know, realistically, I may make half of that. And that's going to be okay. If I make half of that, I'll be on cloud nine. So you can have a lofty goal, but still, you got to be realistic as to what your skill level is. I know what my skill level is, and I'm a conservative trader. I've said this to you guys before. That is my approach. I'm not a huge risk taker, except when it comes to startups in terms of investing in stocks. That I don't care about because, to me, that's disposable income that I've put aside for startups. But when it comes to, you know, trading something that I'm a little more invested in, you know, T-bonds, gold, whatever, no, that's a little different sort of approach. But either way, it's the same mechanical approach. And if I reach half of my lofty goal, I'll just be ecstatic. So think about your highest goal, but also write down, you know, a more realistic one. One that you'd say, okay, and I'm not telling you to settle. What I'm saying is that would be like when Mark and I got engaged, and we didn't have two nickels to rub together. You know, we were living in a one bedroom apartment. We're writing the book and the first book, Discipline Trader. And, you know, we had like zero money. And so we got engaged, and, you know, we'd kind of been looking at rings. And of course all my friends had a little more money than we did. And I really wanted a 2-carat diamond. Now, back then, I'm talking 1990, a 2-carat, even at Tiffany's, was probably about $5,000 or $6,000. Well, it might as well been $1 million. Okay. Well, it took quite a number of years, but when I finally did get my 2.5-carat diamond, it was awesome. So that was a lofty goal. It was a lofty goal that I really set out for myself. And I will tell you, I didn't get it while I was married to Mark. He was so not into jewelry like that. But I bought it for myself a couple years ago. And it was just something that's what I wanted. So, and I'm not saying Mark wasn't into jewelry because, you know, we went to the Tucson Gem Show in the wholesale department every year. So I have a lot of jewelry. So my point is, you can have a lofty goal. I mean, and in between time, yes, Mark bought me a smaller diamond and other jewelry, but which was great. But I still always wanted a bigger diamond, and that's okay. But if I never got it, it was okay because I still had what I knew was realistic. And I hope that's making sense. So, you know, because few of us grow up learning how to operate in an arena that allows us for complete freedom of expression. There's no other area. And the problem is that we have to create our own rules. I mean, now I'm not saying that you can't get some rules from people online or your trading advisor or in a chat room. But the bottom line is they still have to become your rules. They, like I, you know, Larry Pesavento and I have known each other forever. He's a fabulous trader. Alexander Elder, same thing. Great friend, you know, fabulous trader. But their rules are their rules. They work for them in their mental approach. Now, I might take maybe a part of one of their rules and tweak it to make it my own. And that's what every trader has to do. You can get a format set of rules from someone that you consider an expert, as I do with Alex and Larry. But that doesn't necessarily mean I could use their methodology the way they use it, because I have a different mind. I have a different perspective. So they can give me a good foundation, which they have, especially Larry. But I still have to use it in my own way because I have my own beliefs and my own perception of market data. So when I say you have to create your own rules, you may have to tweak them. You may have to, as I said, start out with somebody else's rules and then just tweak them like you do with your edge. And then you have to have the self-direction to abide by them. Now, the problem here is, the challenge is that price movement is fluid. It's always in motion. And unlike any other structured events or business ventures that any of us are accustomed to, you know, those of us, any of us that have worked for other people since we've been born, basically. In the market environment, the decisions that confront us are as endless as price movement, any price movement you intend to take advantage of to make money. In other words, you don't just have to decide to participate, to put on a trade. You also have to decide when to enter, how long to stay in, under what conditions to even get in to begin with, and also under what conditions to get out. There's no beginning, there's no middle, there's no ending. It's only what you create in your own mind. Now, in addition to the possible adverse mental implications that accompany any of the decisions that you have to make, you have to be aware that even if you make a minimum financial commitment of one contract per trade, you know, in the futures market, as an example, you have to be aware that there is still an unlimited potential for profit as well as an unlimited potential for loss. So, you know, from a mental perspective, guys, this means that each trade has the possibility of fulfilling your wildest dreams of financial independence, like me getting a 2.5-carat diamond, while simultaneously presenting me, you, I, all of us, with the risk of losing everything you own. Or maybe not losing, but just not allowing you to acquire anything you desire. So this constantly changing price movement, and no matter what market you're in, makes it extremely easy for traders to ignore the risk because you can constantly see the potential for profit. And it's so tempting for traders to believe that they don't have to follow their own rules. Well, this time, or maybe the next time, and so on, because they might have just lucked out making a profit. I hope this is making sense to you guys. And if not, hey, you know where I'm at. Send me an email and I'll explain it next week in more detail. So this uncertain scenario explains, again, like I said, why so few people ever really realize their wildest financial dreams. And the challenge is that a lot of traders constantly overestimate their ability to fulfill their own expectations. And why is that? Because they have not created a business plan. They have not written down what they expect to achieve on a daily basis. And I say this all the time, guys, but if you don't know what you expect to achieve because you're in, you know, la-la land saying, well, you know, hey, I can have unlimited profit, then you're not approaching this as a professional trader. And when I say a professional trader, I just mean someone who takes this job, this career, seriously. You know, so if you are experiencing some drawdowns, repeated drawdowns, then you're going to start inflicting a certain degree of mental, emotional, and financial damage on yourself because of you not approaching your trading seriously. And that's the term that I'll use. Anyone who doesn't have a business plan, doesn't write down before they put on a trade each day what they hope to accomplish with their trading that day, then you're not a serious trader. That's the way it is. And so you end up, instilling some degree of mental damage, and that has the potential for generating fear for the next time you think about putting on a trade. And fear results from any belief about market conditions that have the potential to cause you emotional pain. And that creates stress, anxiety, confusion, disappointment, and especially betrayal. And that leads to what? Revenge trading. And we've all been there. Okay? So any fear-based painful conditions are just the result of unfulfilled expectations. And your unfulfilled expectations create a conflict between what you believe about market data, and what the market is actually telling you that doesn't match those beliefs. And then this is what every trader goes through, guys. Okay. So if you're experiencing this, don't take it personal. It's just a normal part of the learning curve of understanding what you need to think and how you need to think and react to become a consistently self-trusting trader. And you can do this. So hang on, we will be right back. Okay, so again, guys, I'm not being a Debbie Downer here, but these are the realities. You know, we are not raised, none of us, no matter what country we are in, we are not raised to think in unlimited ways. We are raised and grow up and learn and have our first jobs in very defined environments. And so in essence, we are untaught to be creative. And that's why we're so attracted to trading, because it gives us the freedom to be creative, to create however much money we want, to create the lifestyle that we dream of. And we want to pursue that. And so there's nothing wrong with understanding that we are limiting ourselves with our thoughts. You know, I've shared with you, you know, I've had, everybody has baggage. Everybody's been bullied or abused or whatever to some degree. And even though we may have cleared out a lot of that negative things that happen to us, there may still be, you know, a certain degree of a memory or something that pops into your brain right when you're about to point and click that mouse that makes you hesitate. So if that happens, you know, don't be upset about it. Just recognize it. Get out your workbook, get out your pad of paper, whatever you have that where you write down your expectations for the day, and just say, oh my gosh, this just popped into my brain and I hesitated to put on a valid trade. At the end of the trading day, you can look back at that and say, okay, that limited me from making money to whatever degree. I no longer want to subscribe to that. Now you're in the process of de-energizing any of the old, outdated programming. And whether it's something negative or it's, just the phrase like money doesn't grow on trees, you know, just any limiting thought that comes into your brain at any time, just sit there and just say, okay, how is this supporting me to achieve my goals as a trader? You know, just ask yourself that. And if you say, well, that doesn't work for me anymore. Okay. Just write that down. this thought, this belief or set of beliefs just doesn't work for me anymore now as a trader. And then write it down. I'm going to let this go. That's it. But you have to do that. You have to take that mental inventory so you know what you're thinking and why, and make a decision to say, thank you. You got me to where I am, but I need to go further and forward, and you can go on your way. All right. But, you know, we're taught to avoid self-reflection. We're taught to avoid pain. And so we end up building mental defenses against the intrusion of any type of mental information that makes us hesitate as traders, that would even confirm the existence of a belief that limits us. This is, you know, it's just normal. This is because this is how we are programmed and trained from the moment we're born. And it's not from a negative perspective. It's from a safety perspective. It's from an educational perspective. It's all with the best intentions so we can all get along. Now, if you have a problem thinking that anything anybody said to you was from a negative perspective, feel free to call me, because I work with traders on this all the time. And we can work through it and help you energize, de-energize anything that anybody said to you that might be limiting you. Okay, so don't hesitate to do that. Because you have to understand, if you're hesitating or you are not perceiving true market data, then you are not sharing a reality with the markets. But instead, you are indulging yourself in, I hate to use this word, Mark likes to use the word, I don't really like the word, but let's, for today, I'll just say, you're indulging yourself in an illusion that you're not, that you are not limiting yourself. Okay? Because you don't want to experience the possibility of disappointment. And I get it, guys. I get it. There are times when, you know, some of my outdated programming comes up in front of me and it's like, oh, geez, I thought I was past that. Okay, do I get upset? No. As a matter of fact, I'm grateful that it came up in front of me, in my mental environment, in my beliefs, so I can write it down and say, okay, I no longer have to believe I'm stupid. I'm not in fifth grade anymore with Miss Davis screaming that at me. Okay, I no longer have to think that I'm ugly because my abuser is no longer in front of me. You know, whatever it is, I no longer have to think that I don't know how to trade, because I can look at my trading account and see that's not the case. So it's just a matter of saying, okay, this came up. Thank you, God, for showing me this, because now I know I need to de-energize it. And I need to let it go because it no longer functions for me in my role now as a trader. That's it, guys. It's just a matter of taking that inventory to say, okay, these beliefs do not function anymore. They may have gotten you to where you are. Hey, you're all a successful right now because you even have a trading account. And it doesn't matter the size of your trading account, because there are countless people who would die to have a trading account, but they will never achieve that goal. So already, every single one of you listening to this who has a trading account, you are a success right now, right here. And God wants you to understand that, because he wants you to experience your highest financial goals. So just keep in mind, everything that we teach is just helping you understand that you can choose to open up your mind to unlimited wealth. But you have to make an effort, because you have to understand what you think. I know what my limiting beliefs are. I do. I go through them every single morning. I say my affirmations. I thank the Lord. I'm in the shower and I say, all financial doors are open to me now. I can make as much money as a trader as I choose to. Unlimited wealth is on its way to me now. And I'm paraphrasing Catherine Ponder's fabulous book, The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity. Things like that. You know, I'll say things, $50,000 is entering my trading account this week. So things like that. So just make up your mind what you want to believe and what's going to work for you. And then start doing it. Paula T. Webb, New Age of Trading Psychology. You're the best of the best. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. And we will see you next week.
Paula T. Webb, co-author of The Disciplined Trader, The Complete Trader, and several other all-time best-selling, award-winning books, including Trading in the Zone, books that set the bar on trading psychology. You can find her classic books on Amazon and on her website, www.paulatweb.com.